grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from Paul's epistle to the Romans, the 5th chapter, where Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Please be seated. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus is traveling from Judea to Galilee by way of Samaria. It's a 3-day trip on foot, and in our text we see Jesus' true human nature revealed. It's about noon. He's probably been walking about 6 hours, and he's wearied from his journey. He's tired, he's hot, he's dusty, and most of all, he's thirsty. The exhausted Jesus sits down beside a well for rest. Also arriving at the well is a Samaritan woman. Unlike Jesus, she didn't come to the well for rest. She came for water to drink. The burden of drawing water from a deep, deep well. She also brings with her unseen burdens, the guilt and shame of 5 marriages that ended with 5 divorces. Perhaps she no longer trusts men, for the one she is currently living with, she doesn't give the honor to be called her husband. He's just the next man in line to take and take from her, and then probably walk out the door, leaving her again in the eyes of others, a little more soiled, a little more sinful. She comes to the well to draw water, to quench a thirst. But what she really needs is living water that quenches her sins and restores her soul. The physically wearied Jesus asks the emotionally and spiritually wearied woman for a drink. He's a Jew, she's a Samaritan. And she's probably thinking, oh great, another man, even a Jew, asking me to do something. Another man ordering me around. But Jesus offers her the gift of God, living water. But she misunderstands. She doesn't see a bucket in his hands. She's thinking he's talking about water to quench a thirst. But as we know, Jesus is speaking of spiritual water, water that wells up to eternal life. Water that gives new birth, being born from above, born of water and spirit. Jesus goes on to teach the woman that the hour is coming, and indeed, the hour has arrived when mankind would no longer worship God the Father at a specific location. The hour had arrived when people would worship the Father at a new temple, worshiping in spirit and truth. And the new temple is Jesus, who is the dwelling place and the source of spirit and life. It's this new temple, Jesus, whose word is eternal life, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He is the source of all living water. His life, his death, and his resurrection are a life-giving stream. This wasn't the only time that Jesus thirsted. On Calvary's cross, he cried out, "I thirst." The bloody and dying Jesus becomes the thirsty one, longing for life, bearing your suffering, enduring your shame, experiencing the depths of hell itself in your place, so that he may be raised from the dead and offer you his eternal, life-giving stream, the same one that he offered to the Samaritan woman. She acknowledges she's been waiting on the Messiah to come and explain all things, and Jesus replies to her. He says to her, as we discussed down in Bible study this morning, we miss a few things in the translation. Jesus says to her, "I am. I am the one who is speaking to you. For once in her life, the woman finally finds a man who is not a taker, but a giver. And what he gives makes her a child of God, that is, the Holy Spirit working through Jesus' word. Yeah, her faith is new. It's in its infancy and just budding. Yet she has the assurance and the hope of eternal life. You also became a child of God, either in the waters of the living waters of holy baptism or in the preached word of Christ. That word is living and active. And regardless whether your faith is as strong as a rock, weakened due to the devil, or merely budding like the Samaritan woman, you have hope. Like many words in the English language, hope can be used in a multitude of different ways. And today, as this virus is sweeping the country, I'm sure you hope that you don't get it. I hope I don't get it. But we know what that hope does for us. Human hopes are empty. They have no foundation. They refer to something for which you cannot be sure. In Scripture, hope is more than a mere pious longing or a wish. Christian hope is sure. It is an immovable expectation because of the promise of God that is attached to it. You have hope because God said so. In our epistle text, St. Peter writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice the tense of the verb here in this sentence. Paul says, "You have been justified. You have peace." It's already happened. And it's yours right now by the promise of God. God said so. It's what we call forensic justification. God, who is the righteous judge of all, he has judiciously declared you justified, declared you righteous, not guilty of your sin, just as if you have not sinned, all for the sake of his son Jesus. You no longer need to fear his wrath. For sure, just as sure as Jesus knew all the sins of the Samaritan woman, he knows all of yours, and he always has, even before you were knit together in your mother's womb. And while you have continually fled away from God and rebelled against God and despised his word, Jesus' love is greater than your sin. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You have hope. You have the sure hope of salvation because God the Son took on human flesh, lived a perfect human life according to the law. He died the perfect human death according to the law on Calvary's cross. And he was raised for your justification. The Christian's hope has a foundation. And as the hymn goes, your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He's made peace between you and the Father, and it's a hope that you can cling to and hang on to. You can hang your faith on this hope. In Scripture, hope goes together with faith and love. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And love bears all things, believes all things. Love hopes all things and endures all things. Get tied up in the words here, but love hopes all things because faith trusts in Jesus. faith trusts that Jesus has made peace between you and God the Father. And now by your God-given faith, you have assurance. You can dare to hope that on the last day, in the resurrection, everything is going to turn out gloriously for you, because you know how gloriously it turned out for our Lord in his resurrection. For you stand in God's grace and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In baptism, God poured out his love on you. He poured out upon you living water, water in the Word with the Holy Spirit. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are now empowered to live a life befitting of the name Christian, fleeing from those sins, performing works and deeds and almsgiving. You're empowered to rejoice in your sufferings. And I know what you're thinking. How in the world can I rejoice in my sufferings? Why would I even want to rejoice? Well, see, like the Samaritan woman, you few came out this morning. Many churches have shuttered their doors today. Like Sandy said, thanks be to God, we're free to come and worship our Savior. You come here bearing unseen burdens, guilt, and shame. The world, the devil, and your sinful flesh is attacking you so that you might lose sight of the one who bled and died in your place, so that you might trust in the world rather than trust in the hope you have in Jesus. And if you don't believe the devil's in the details, all I have to say is coronavirus. The devil wishes to steal away your hope. But no, just as hand sanitizer purifies the hands and fire purifies precious metal, suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope enables you to continue to rejoice in the midst of suffering, because your hope is looking forward to the ultimate enjoyment of the glory of God. And that's for whether you're weak in faith or whether you're strong in faith. Trust in Jesus. Especially in times of trouble, especially in times of pandemic. Don't let the devil drive you to fear and panic. Don't allow him to cause you to despair. Your hope is looking out into the future, not at the present. You trust that our Lord will preserve you, that you can endure all things, even endure a pandemic. Know that Jesus has walked in your shoes long before you walked in them. He was tempted in every respect, yet remained without sin. And it was his joy to walk in your shoes, carrying your sins and your burdens and your sorrows, and suffering God's entire wrath against your sin so that he could declare you as his justified one, his righteous child. Jesus promises that on the last day, for those who believe, it will not be a day of judgment. It will not be a day of judgment for the faithful. And as you wait for that day, continue to live a life of repentance, patiently enduring suffering, clinging to the Lord's word, treating each day as if it may be your last opportunity to receive his gift of forgiveness. For you have hope that you can cling to. Just as sure as Moses struck the rock in the wilderness and the water flowed out to quench the thirst of the people, they would thirst again. As a matter of fact, they would all die in the wilderness. And if Jesus would have merely given the woman at the well a drink of water, physical water, she too would have thirsted again. And as crass as it sounds in the midst of this epidemic, don't fear the virus. Rather fear and trust in him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You have hope. Sickness and disease can kill the body and all your earthly hopes and dreams. It can take your life, to be sure, but a virus cannot kill the hope you have in Christ Jesus. Like the woman at the well, Jesus has given you the water that wells up to eternal life. You have been reconciled with the Father, and you stand before God as justified. You are declared righteous for the sake of Jesus, because God says so. Faith clings to God's promise, and hope takes that promise all the way home to the bank. Your hope looks forward. You look forward in faith while at the same time looking back at what has been done for you. Christ died in your stead so that you could be declared righteous. God has done all the work. Jesus lived, he died, and he was raised again. He has triumphed over sin, death, and grave, and he is coming again. And until that day, your hope sustains you. Until that day, he comes bringing you salvation. And to that, you don't say that I simply hope so. No, you know so, because God has proclaimed so. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.